welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in, let's see if I'm on now. Okay. So Philippians chapter 1, we're going to look at a couple passages back to back and get our message this morning. But the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, from beginning to end. New Living says, and I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So we see the Apostle Paul just encouraging that Philippian church that, man, he began this good work in you, and he's gonna keep it going. You know, he's not gonna give up on you. But there is something that is in you. There's something about you. There's a purpose in you that he's started, and he's gonna be with you and see it through to the end. Here's kind of a similar thought that's brought out in Hebrews. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, Amplified puts it this way, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. So we see that, you know, as believers, that Jesus continues even after we're saved. We hear the message of the cross. He died on the cross for my sins. I believe it. As many as believed it, received it, accepted it, to them he gave the right to become children of God, translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation in Christ. The old person, human spirit, passes away, all becomes new. So I'm over here. I receive Jesus. I'm in a brand new kingdom. I'm a brand new person. I'm a new creation in Christ. I have the Holy Spirit in me. A lot of amazing things happen when I'm a child of God, when I'm born again. But the active work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our faith just doesn't stop at the point of the new birth. We see in the Word of God that he's actively working in us, with us, for us, to finish our faith, to finish that work he began in us. That's encouraging to know, because a lot of times we kind of come over here and it's like, okay, now I'm here, now I got to roll up my sleeves and just kind of finish my faith and live for God and do my thing for God, and we can lose a larger picture of the fact that, well, for number one, I'm not the finisher of my faith. God is the finisher of my faith. What does that mean? He's the finisher of our faith. If we can understand the fact that he's the finisher of our faith, there's a lot of things and ways that God interacts with us that'll make more sense. It'll put it in a better context that we can work with him as he endeavors to finish our faith. So this morning, I'm going to simply look at the title of the message is The Finisher of Your Faith. The Finisher of Your Faith. Now, when we think of finisher or a finishing work, I kind of think of this. I think of somebody who comes in behind and does that final touch-up stuff, that edge stuff, that trim stuff. That's kind of what in construction a finisher will do. They'll take that roughed-out window and they'll put the nice sill in it or the floor and put that nice trim work on it. It just makes it welcoming. It makes it homey. It makes it, you know, it turns that house into a home when you have that finishing trim work done on it. And, you know, when we're born again, we're over here, we're all children of God, but we're born again as babies in the Lord. And God does a finishing work in us that has that same effect. But you'll notice that to do a finishing work, you're going to have to smooth out some rough edges. You know, you'll address some things in your life to make them smooth, to make them finishing, to make them welcoming. And so I remember, you know, years ago when we were living in Eden Prairie, a guy helped me to finish my basement. I know nothing about construction or finishing a basement, but the guy was also a realtor and a friend, and he knew how to finish, and he knew, you know, how to do all that stuff. So I worked with him, and we kind of got all that rough work done and finished out the basement. But then it really wasn't ready, though, until that guy was able to come in, another guy who could do the trim and the finishing work. But it was amazing to see how the before and after, from a roughed-in basement to a well-trimmed-out, smooth basement. You know, again, it's welcoming. It makes all the difference. Those finishing touches. Now, I just want us to see, big picture, as God's working in our heart, as he's finishing our faith, to see the big picture of where it's going. When God does, we'll say, a finishing touch of patience and gentleness in your life, smooths out some places, those finishing touches will get you influence and access to places that you couldn't go otherwise. Do you realize that? In other words, Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners for a reason. He had a finished work in him in the sense that he could draw people. But there was a beautiful fruit of the Spirit that came out of his life and a work of the Spirit in his life that God was able to use him, you know, obviously the Son of God, but was able to use him as an example for us. You know, that he's our example. He's the captain of our salvation. And what we see in the life of Jesus is somebody who was used by God. He was God, God on the inside, of course. But you know, he grew in wisdom and stature as a man, the scripture says. Think, how can God grow in wisdom and stature? He did. There was a natural part of human side that grew. In fact, in every point, he was made just like us. So it's not like he had perfect patience because he's just God and he just had perfect patience. Well, he had perfect patience, but the Bible says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, he was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. Was he ever tempted to lose his cool? Yeah. Well, are you ever tempted to lose your cool? You can just take inventory. How am I tempted? That's how he was tempted. But the scripture also says that he, Jesus, this is God, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. That's pretty amazing. Jesus. There's a suffering, but there's a finishing, there's a learning, there's a growing, and there's a powerful way that God uses us in it. So as we're talking this morning about the finisher of our faith, we'll hit some subjects that are familiar to us, but we need to see those subjects in a broader context. As God's doing some things in us, we're going to remind ourselves too that, hey, yeah, I'm confronting some stuff here, but there's a finishing work that's being done here that God's doing in me. He's the finisher of my faith for a reason. He's going to use me. He's going to develop me. And so that's where we're going this morning, the finisher of our faith. And so all we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at a few tools that God has. He has finishing tools that he uses to finish our faith. Here we see I'm not exactly sure what that name of that tool is, but chisel, is that what it is? Okay. So just a simple chisel to smooth out and carve out and make some definition in some rough edges and bring clarity to some things to make it pretty, you know, and so it's interesting, you know, that there's friction, there's moving, there's some things changing, but it's going to make it pretty. It's going to make it useful. And just that context. God does some finishing in us, but it's not a condemning thing. He wants to use us. So let's look at a few tools. The first one we think of is certainly the finishing tool of God's Word. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So this is the one where we all come face to face as we're reading in the Word of God, and it's like, okay, you know, we find some scriptures where the scripture says is, you know, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And sometimes we'll bunk into some scriptures like that and say, okay, I got to forgive. I know I got to forgive. And a lot of times we've got to make sure that that we allow that word to be a word, to realize that there's an effect of the word. In other words, the old religious paradigm, I got to forgive, I know I should forgive. This morning, I just want to take it out of that paradigm into a bigger paradigm, into a finishing work. There's a reason I'm forgiving, because God's finishing something in me. There's a quality and a characteristic that when something happens, I'm going to go in prayer, I'm going to say, Father, even as you've forgiven me, I forgive that person. I forgive them, Lord. In other words, something's being beautified in me when that happens. There's a beautiful work. You know, we'll look at, Julie and I like to watch the Antiques Roadshow, and sometimes you'll see some things where a person will bring an antique in there, and they cleaned it all up. And they said, oh, why did you clean it up? The patina, you know, I guess that's kind of the wear and tear on it, is the charm, you know? And if you wouldn't have cleaned it up, you know, it's worth $1,000, but it would have been worth $10,000 if you just hadn't cleaned it up, you know? It's like, oh. And then other times they'll say, you know, yeah, it's okay to clean this. You know, you really need to clean this up and it'll add value. You know, a lot of times there'll be some pictures that if you just clean it up, you know, spend $1,000, you'll get $5,000 of value. So you're kind of wondering, what do you clean, what don't you clean? Because sometimes there's a charm to that old patina. And sometimes we can fall into that a little bit, you know, to be charmed by some of our rough edges. Yeah, it's a little rough, but it's kind of charming. It's old patina, you know, that's all it is. That's me, you know, flow with it, get over it. And you can do that. You know, I mean, this isn't about your salvation, but sometimes there's a finishing work that God wants to do. And so it's a matter of, hey, you know, he isn't a respecter of persons, you know, and there can be a work that God wants to do in my life. And a lot of times we don't want to change, and it might be a little rough, but we're used to that. You know, we're familiar with that. Even if it was to clean me up and make me be like, well, I'll be different and be change. And so sometimes God will come face to face with the word and we'll try to make excuses around it, you know, in some kind of an excusing way. But we got to realize that, man, there's a purpose for that correction, for that cleaning. I love the way Paul instructs Timothy. He says, in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. So there's two kinds of stuff in a house, a great house. There's the really nice, fine china, and then there's the junky, you know, crusty wood, you know, dust junk, clay junk. He says, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he's kind of spiritual allegory, you know, if you cleanse yourself from the latter, the yucky stuff, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And so when you think about it like that, you know, it's like I can pick, you know, do I want that rough edge off or do I want to keep it on? Well, you can keep it on. But there may be some good works you're not sanctified for. It may be holding you back from some stuff. He may be wanting to make you look a certain way to present you before a whole area of influence that you can't have because you're in love with your patina. You're in love with the charm, in love with some rough edges. I'm talking to me. I know, it's like change. You know, we say, I'm going to go from glory to glory to glory. Well, you know, if you're going to go from glory to glory, you're going to go where you haven't been before. Yeah. Are you okay with that? There's faith in going from glory to glory. And a lot of times it's going from sanctification to sanctification. It's from going from rough edge to smooth edge, from rough edge to smooth edge. And not being charmed by, again, our own rough edges or patina or however you want to put that. But to say, okay, wait now, yeah, I'm going there, but I've been fighting it, and I'm feeling bad, but just big picture. He's not doing this to condemn us. He loves us. He's for us. He's doing it to sanctify us and prepare us for the good works he's ordained us to walk in, to see that perspective. Yeah, I've been struggling with this for however many years. He's still faithful. His word isn't going to change for me, no matter how many years I've been struggling with it. The word's still the word. And sometimes there can be even, you know, you can have influences that try to keep you in a place. That's why you got to love God more than anybody, right? first place and say, God, okay, you're my Lord. I'm willing, I'm ready. I want to be changed. I want these rough edges smoothed out. I'm willing to be changed. So that word becomes a tool that God will use. Not a tool to condemn, but a tool to help sanctify, to cleanse us, and to prepare us. Again, those changes that are prepare us for good works, okay? So there's that work of the word that we can clearly see, kind of black and white as it's written out. But there's another powerful tool, too, that God also uses. There's the finishing tool of God's Spirit. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases Him. And the NIV puts it this way, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. This is a powerful finishing tool of the Spirit of God because, and I'm so glad that God is this way. You know, He gives us His Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. So as we're going through this finishing project, God's Spirit is also working in us, giving us a desire. Now, we can kind of use this scripture in connection with what God's called you to do, the good works He's ordained you to walk in. We've preached it from that perspective many times as far as you have a desire to do this thing. Well, maybe God's calling you to go in that direction, you know, to be a writer, you know, to be a caregiver, to be, an electrician or whatever vocation. There's a desire to do that. And so He puts that in us to want to do it. But there's also not just a desire for the thing He's called you to do. There's also a sanctifying work desire He puts in you too. In other words, the Bible's a big book. A lot of stuff in here. And God doesn't call us to look at this book in the Bible and just be overwhelmed. Remember what the scripture says? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm not looking within at everything that's wrong with me. In being overwhelmed and depressed, and I can never, what could I do next? There's a looking unto Jesus, and as we're looking unto Jesus, the Spirit of God is doing that work. The Spirit of God is highlighting what those areas are, okay? I always like to bring it back, you know, I kid growing up in the 70s, I'd watch Sesame Street, all right? And so you'd watch this Sesame Street episode. Today's brought to you by the letter S, and by the number 7, all right? We need all the letters. We need all the numbers. But today is brought to you by the letter S and the number 7. And when God is doing a sanctifying and a finishing work in you, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the Word of God. There's a lot of things. But He will very sweetly and gently deal with you just one thing at a time. He'll begin to, by His Spirit, work on just an area with that chisel. You know, you don't have to get all perfected in a day. Basements aren't finished that way, and human hearts aren't finished that way either. But His Spirit, praise God, will gently and peacefully begin to guide you into some areas that, okay, Lord, this is an area I want smoothed out. This is a rough area that I need Your help. I need Your grace, but we're going to go for it. We're going to go for this thing. I remember when I was... roller skating. So I always think of this from roller skating. The first time I went roller skating, you know, I'm bobbling and I'm just trying to keep my balance a little bit. And then I did the worst thing that I could do. I looked behind me and I saw all these people coming at me. And it was like, oh my goodness. All of a sudden, in a moment of time, I had about 20 hypotheticals of how somebody could run into me. And it's like, oh. And then I did the smartest thing I could do. Instead of looking back, I looked forward. And I looked at the spaces that I could go to. And there was hope in a forward look that you don't get in a backward look. And when God is doing, I'm not looking back. I'm looking unto Jesus. I'm looking to Him. I'm not looking at my history of failure. I'm not looking in of all my known rough edges. I'm just looking unto Him and saying, Lord, what is next? What is that straight path? What are You working in me? What are You wanting me to address? And again, this time of year, it's a good time to do that, you know, to be able to say, okay, if I'm going to do something, it's not just going to be my willpower. I need God's power, desire, strength to overcome something, those different things in my life. And so it kind of brings it to the scripture, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And again, this is the whole purpose of that finishing work. He's preparing us for things to walk in. You know, sometimes you're going to go through some things, and in going through some things, you're going to bump into people who are going through the same thing. And you're going to help them get through some things as well, too. But he's going to prepare you for those good works. But I love to just put it this way. Yes, his word gives us the details that we can see rough edges. But his spirit then will come in behind the word and begin to guide us as to some of those things that are most important, that are priority, that he really wants us to take on. I'll tell you what, there's something about, too, seeing results that are pretty amazing. You know, when you look at a lot of the Hollywood movies and the Marvels, you know, the Marvel superheroes and all that stuff, you kind of look back at those movies and there's always some element of kind of the one about them, the favor, the destined, the all that stuff. Well, we're his workmanship, which he prepared beforehand, a good works that we should walk in. There is that sense of destiny that we also have. But when it really comes to being the one, even within the church, we can look around and say, who's the one in the church? Anybody who is willing to cleanse himself from the latter, anyone who's willing to listen on the inside, anyone who's willing to do what God is calling you to do, that's anybody can be the one in that sense. In other words, there's different versions of you as you're walking with God. And you've probably found that through the years. You know, I've had that too, where I've went back and I've found a spiritual journal book and gone back and read it and go, wow, Ed, what are you doing? Come on, let's get back with it here. You know, man, I was in the zone here. You know, but you'll notice that, and I also see at those times too, it's like God first and I'm getting stuff, you know. It's when you get in the Spirit that you hear what the Spirit has to say. And so there's a motivation to get in the Spirit, to hear what God is saying, to see where he's leading and guiding me. In other words, it's a paradox. I mean, we're all quick to say nobody's perfect. We're all really quick to admit, I'm not perfect. That's not really the question. The question is, are you willing to be perfected? Are you willing to be finished? Are you willing to be changed? We all know we're not perfect. But God wants to do a perfecting work in us. Where's his workmanship? We've got that decision to make. So there's a finishing work of his word, of his spirit. There's also a finishing tool of God's grace. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn of the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'll rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. This is the Apostle Paul. And if you read about his ministry in Acts chapter 13 and 14 and, you know, through 28, you'll see what he's going through. Man, it's not like he's backsliding here. He's doing what he knows to do right. I mean, he got that witness of the Macedonians say, come on over to us. You know, he did. He stopped at the red lights. He went at the green lights. He's doing what God told him to do. He's preaching the gospel, bearing fruit, but then he gets beaten and persecuted. You know, sometimes there's just persecution, but God's grace is sufficient for you. That's a finishing work. Sometimes it's not like, I need to change this, or I need to. Sometimes the rough edge is just staying put. I mean, just to stay put. God's doing a finishing work in you. You know, David was anointed to be king before he went to the throne. There was an anointing on him. But he was a faithful shepherd. He stayed put. And in his faithfulness, he took down a lion. He took down a bear. The reason why he took down Goliath is because he was prepared for Goliath. But he was faithful. He didn't just do everything that he thought. He was just faithful to what God had showed him to do. In those places of faithfulness, there is a deep work of grace and contentment and satisfaction, man, that God does in you. That's a finishing tool. There's a finishing tool of God's grace. I'm not trying to be all, Lord, I'm just doing what you're showing me to do. In other words, the Lord could show you things to come, but they're not now. And that finishing work of grace, well, yeah, but Lord, I'm made for this, but I'm here, but I'm, yeah, but you're faithful here. You're fighting lions and bears here that you don't quite realize in your faithfulness. And when you get there, you're going to be prepared for there. But there's a work of the grace of God. I love the way James puts it. He says, my brethren, count it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to you all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is where faithfulness is developed here too. There's trials. And you know, when we're in trials, there's all kinds of things we can reach for to distract us from a trial. But man, when you're in a trial and you reach for the wisdom of God, and you reach for the wisdom of God, and you get good at reaching for the wisdom of God in a trial, and all of a sudden you're content, you're lacking nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You are lacking nothing. You are stable. You have peace in his presence. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can get crucified in faithfulness. Spiritual ego can get crucified in faithfulness. To where y'all know it's technically for his glory, but when you're going through stuff and you're just keeping it for him, man, then he'll move you out. And it's not like just for the glory of God. No, there's something in your heart that's really deep, that's rooted, and you know that. There's a developing and a work that he's doing in you. That's a finishing tool of the grace of God. And that doesn't even necessarily register as revelation or things like that. It's just a work in you that when you get put in those places, you don't flinch and you don't jump because you'd had a finishing work of the grace of God here. You began to work for wisdom in some of those hard places instead of the thing, you know, the rough edge or the thing that God's trying to get you free from. You're learning to depend on God and his grace. Those are beautiful things. And then finally, I just want to say there's a finishing tool of fellowship, okay? We are part of God's finishing tool. He uses us. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Let the message about Christ and all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. You know, he will use you in a powerful way as part of his finishing work. And it's amazing how he will use you too. And like I said before, sometimes you'll go through some things. Sometimes you might feel that somebody needs something and God will show you something about you that you couldn't relate. Did you know that the testimony of Jesus in your own life is a spirit of prophecy? There's something powerful when God will just cause you to relate to something the way God got through to you in a way that can help somebody. God will give us wisdom. There's humility. There's gentleness and heart and spirit. But he uses us to speak into each other's lives in a way that can encourage us, in a way that can let us know that, okay, yeah, I'm on track. Or, yeah, no, I know what they're talking about. That's what I need to do too. You know, something like that. And it's amazing how it can come out. And don't prejudge anything. When somebody's saying something to you, man, listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. I've related even being here at Door of Life. There was a time when, a family, you know, one of our family members, just working with him, and we were just fellowshipping like this, and he was asking me about, maybe, Ed, aren't you going to be, you and Julie going to be starting a church someday? And you go, oh, yeah, yeah, one of these days. He said, maybe now's the time. I mean, he said that, but it was like the Lord. He didn't say this, but he could have couched it like this: "Thus saith the Lord, now is the time." he would have been right. He was just saying it in a conversation, but really from the heart, in a way that just resonated deep. Changed my life. Changed the direction of our whole family. Just on a fellowship conversation one day. He wasn't planning that at all. It was an honest question. But sometimes just through sweet fellowship, just sweet interaction with each other, that's why we don't forsake the assembly. That's why we stay connected. That's why we have friends, you know, that are precious to us, that can speak into our lives. Because God uses us. He uses us, and then he uses people in our lives to be that finishing tool to encourage us and to encourage our faith. So that's what I just wanted to minister this morning, just how God, the finisher of your faith, he has these finishing tools that he does. He has his word that we can see clearly, that point out the rough edges, but then he sweetly comes in by his spirit and says, yeah, it's a big basement that has to get finished here, but let's start with this windowsill right over here. You know, that's what he does very sweetly by his spirit. And he'll begin to show us thing by thing. And I'll tell you what, when you got a mess, but you get one thing really cleaned up, it inspires you to want to get that next window cleaned up. Because look at that. And yeah, it's a mess, but all of a sudden, instead of this whole thing being a mess and overwhelmed, I got one thing cleaned up here. Same spirit that cleaned up that windowsill can clean up that windowsill. You know what I'm saying? And so you got to get inspired by a little bit of progress. And that's what the Spirit of God knows. He knows you. And so he'll guide you, and he'll give you some straight paths for an area to see some results. And then praise God, it'll be a powerful encouragement in your own life. So his grace will come along. Sometimes it's like, I'm doing, your word says this, your spirit showed me to do this, and I'm doing what I need to do, and yet still everything is breaking loose. It's okay. There's also a finishing work of the grace of God where you're going to be saying, well, your grace is sufficient for me. Therefore, I'm going to boast in weaknesses because when I'm weak, then the power of God is strong on me. It's not a matter of I did the do's and I did do the don'ts. Sometimes there's just hard places. What am I going to do? I'm going to ask for the wisdom of God. And I love what it says. He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it to you without reproach. Isn't that a good thing? You can ask the dumbest question in the world, and he will give you the answer in a very sweet, kind, loving, graceful way. You know, a lot of times I say, there are no dumb questions. I'll tell you what, I've learned the same lesson multiple times through the years. Have you ever done that? And think, here's the answer. It's like, comes by revelation. It's like, well, I already knew this. But he'll still tell it to you in a very sweet, kind, gentle way. That's the way he is. And so there's the grace of God that stays with us, and then the fellowship of God, where, praise God, there's just that sweet interaction that we have with each other. And this is an opportunity to be used by God. And that's where we're listening on the inside, is to how we say things, how we phrase things, you know, in that same kind of gentle, sweet spirit. And then have an open ear to whoever's talking to you. Because it's not just so-and-so. It can be the Spirit of God speaking through you. There's no echelons here. He can speak through a child and give you direction for your life. You're listening with ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Well, Father, we thank you this morning for just the finishing work of your Spirit in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for how you do, Lord, what only you can do. We thank you that it's a sweet journey that we have you. This is not a religion. It's not a bunch of rules. It's not a bunch of hoops. But thank God, it's just the sweet, sweet finishing work, Lord. Jesus, you're the author and the finisher. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Lord Jesus, you're the author of my faith. You're the finisher of my faith. I thank you for your word that shows me clearly rough edges that can be smoothed out. I thank you for your spirit who works in me, guiding me, inspiring me, encouraging me. I let that voice through. I make those changes. I start there. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace. It is sufficient for me. No matter what I'm going through, it can't separate me from your love. Thank you, Lord. You're the finisher of my faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning.